Welcome to the GCSE Business Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most important topics in your business GCSE, operations. Whether you're sitting AQA, EdXL, OCR, or any other board, this episode's going to give you everything you need to walk into that exam with confidence. So grab a pen, settle in, and let's get started. Operations is all about how a business actually makes things and delivers services. It's the engine room of any business. Examiners love this topic because it connects to almost every other part of the course: finance, marketing, human resources. So understanding operations, well, gives you a real advantage in those higher mark questions. Let's start with production methods because this is the area where candidates most often pick up easy marks or lose them through confusion. There are three main production methods you need to know inside out. The first is job production. This is where a business makes one unique item at a time, completely tailored to a customer's specific requirements. Think of a bespoke wedding dress, a custom-built house, or a portrait painted by an artist. The key features are, it's highly skilled work, it's expensive per unit, and the output is unique. The advantage is that you can charge a premium price because the customer is getting something made just for them. The disadvantage is that it's slow and costly. You can't produce at scale. The second method is batch production. Here, a business makes a group or batch of identical items together, then switches to making a different batch. A bakery is the classic example. They might bake 200 white loaves in the morning, then switch to 200 wholemeal loaves in the afternoon. The advantages are flexibility. You can switch between products and lower costs than job production. The disadvantage is that there's downtime when you're switching between batches, and you need to hold stock. The third method is flow production, sometimes called mass production. This is a continuous automated process where identical products move along a production line. Think of a car manufacturer like Toyota, or a bottling plant producing millions of identical drinks. The advantages are very low unit costs due to economies of scale and automation. The disadvantage is high setup costs, inflexibility, it's hard to change what you're making, and if the line breaks down, everything stops. Now, a really important development in production is the role of technology. Automation means using machines to replace human labor in repetitive tasks. Robotics takes this further. Robots can perform complex tasks with precision and consistency. The impact on businesses is significant. Costs fall in the long run because you don't pay wages or sick pay to a robot. Quality becomes more consistent, and output can run 24 hours a day. However, the initial investment is very high, and there are social consequences. Workers lose their jobs, which can damage a business's reputation and community relationships. Moving on to quality management, and this is where many candidates lose marks by confusing two very important terms. Quality control and quality assurance are not the same thing. Let me be very clear about this. Quality control is a reactive process. It involves checking finished products at the end of the production process to identify and remove defective items before they reach the customer. Imagine a factory inspector at the end of a conveyor belt pulling out any bottles that are the wrong size. The problem with quality control is that by the time you find the defect, you've already wasted materials and labor making the faulty product. Quality assurance is a proactive process. It involves building quality checks into every stage of production so that problems are caught and prevented before they become costly mistakes. It's a whole business approach. Everyone is responsible for quality, not just the inspector at the end. This reduces waste, improves efficiency, and builds a culture of quality throughout the organization. Why does quality matter? Because poor quality damages a business's reputation. In the age of social media, one viral complaint about a faulty product can reach millions of people overnight. Good quality leads to customer satisfaction, repeat purchases, and positive word of mouth, all of which are essential for long-term business success. Now let's talk about customer service and methods of selling. Examiners expect you to understand that how a business sells its products is just as important as what it sells. There are several methods of selling. Face-to-face selling involves a salesperson interacting directly with a customer, in a shop, at a trade fair, or in a customer's home. It allows for personalized service and relationship building, but it's expensive and geographically limited. Telesales involves selling over the phone. It's cheaper than face-to-face and can reach a wider audience, but customers often find it intrusive and conversion rates can be low. E-commerce, selling online, has transformed the business world. Businesses can now reach customers globally, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with relatively low overhead costs compared to physical stores. Amazon is the obvious giant example, but even small businesses can set up an online shop and compete internationally. However, e-commerce has disrupted traditional distribution channels. Many high street retailers have struggled or closed because they couldn't compete with online prices and convenience. After-sales service is often overlooked by candidates, but examiners specifically reward it. After-sales service includes things like warranties, technical support, returns policies, and follow-up communications. Why does it matter? Because it's far cheaper to retain an existing customer than to find a new one. A customer who has a problem but gets it resolved quickly and fairly is often more loyal than one who never had a problem at all. Businesses like John Lewis have built their entire brand reputation on exceptional after-sales service. Consumer law is another area where candidates can score easy marks if they know the basics. The key piece of legislation you need to know is the Consumer Rights Act 2015. This law states that goods must be of satisfactory quality, fit for purpose, and as described. If a product fails to meet these standards, the customer has the right to a refund, repair, or replacement. For businesses, this means that poor quality products don't just damage reputation, they create legal liability. A product recall, like the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 battery fires in 2016, can cost a company billions of pounds and cause lasting reputational damage. Now let's move to business location, a topic that requires you to think analytically about trade-offs. The factors that influence where a business locates include proximity to the market, being close to your customers reduces delivery costs and time, proximity to raw materials, particularly important for heavy industries where transporting materials is expensive, labor supply, businesses need access to workers with the right skills at the right cost, infrastructure, good road, rail, and digital connections are essential, and costs, land, and property are much cheaper outside city centers, which is why many distribution warehouses are located near motorway junctions rather than in expensive urban areas. E-commerce has changed the location decision significantly. An online business doesn't need a prime high street location. It needs a good warehouse and reliable logistics. This is why we've seen a boom in out-of-town distribution centers, while high streets have declined. Finally, let's cover supply chain management and procurement. The supply chain is the entire journey from raw materials to the end customer. It includes suppliers, manufacturers, distributors, retailers, and the customer. Procurement is the process of sourcing and buying the inputs a business needs. Raw materials, components, services. It's about much more than just finding the cheapest price. Good procurement considers quality, reliability, ethical standards, and the risk of supply disruption. Logistical decisions, how you store and move goods, affect costs, speed, and reliability. Just-in-time stock management, for example, means ordering stock only when you need it, reducing storage costs, but increasing the risk of running out if a supplier is delayed. Now let me give you the exam tips you need to turn this knowledge into marks. Tip 1. Always use business terminology precisely. Don't say quality control when you mean quality assurance. Examiners are specifically looking for accurate use of terminology, and mixing these up is one of the most common errors in the operations topic. Tip 2. When a question asks you to explain something, you must show the link between cause and effect. Don't just state a fact, explain the consequence. For example, don't just say, flow production has low unit costs. Say, flow production has low unit costs because the high volume of output spreads fixed costs over more units, making each individual product cheaper to produce. Tip 3. For evaluation questions, those that ask to what extent or do you agree, you must weigh up both sides and reach a justified conclusion. The top marks go to candidates who can say, it depends on, and explain what it depends on. Tip 4. Use real-world examples. Examiners love to see candidates apply their knowledge to real businesses. Toyota for flow production and lean manufacturing, Amazon for e-commerce and supply chain management, Rolls-Royce for job production, John Lewis for customer service and quality assurance. Tip 5, in location questions, always link your answer to the specific type of business in the question. A manufacturing business and a retail business will have very different location priorities. Now it's time for our quick-fire recall quiz. Cover up your notes and answer these out loud. Question 1. What is the difference between quality control and quality assurance? Pause and think. Quality control checks finished products at the end of production. Quality assurance builds checks into every stage of production. Question 2. Name the three production methods. Pause. Job production, batch production, and flow production. Question 3. What does the Consumer Rights Act 2015 say goods must be? Pause. Of satisfactory quality, fit for purpose, and as described. Question 4. Give two factors that influence business location. Pause. Any two from proximity to market, proximity to raw materials, labor supply, infrastructure, costs. Question 5. What is procurement? Pause. The process of sourcing and purchasing the inputs a business needs, considering quality, reliability, ethics, and cost, not just the cheapest price. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and reread those sections before your exam. To summarize today's episode, operations covers how businesses produce goods and services, manage quality, sell to customers, comply with consumer law, choose their location, and manage their supply chain. Every single one of these areas connects to the wider business. Operations, decisions affect costs, which affects profit, which affects finance. They affect product quality, which affects marketing and reputation. And they affect workers, which connects to human resources. The key to scoring well in operations questions is precision. Use the right terms, explain the links, use real examples, and always reach a judgment in evaluation questions. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck in your exam. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers. And remember, every mark you earn is a mark you've worked for. See you in the next episode.